WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now for this Thanksgiving week, we continue our 10-part end-of-year gratitude series. You can think of this as the heroes, as 10 heroes of community well-being in the year 2020. We're bringing on 10 individuals or leaders of community groups who may not get covered in the news very much, but who have helped make life livable in this year of so much grief and so much need and so much thirsting for justice and equality. These are not, as I said yesterday when we launched this series, the 10 heroes of community well-being this year. There are tens of thousands just in our listening area, to be sure. But these are 10 who've been brought to our attention by colleagues and sources and friends and you on the phones. And so we will tell 10 community well-being stories for the end of 2020 as representative of how all kinds of people have stepped up this year under these extreme conditions. We will also have a live Zoom event on Wednesday night, December 9th, to honor three of the champions of community well-being who we will be meeting this event occasion that the station is generously naming the Lehrer Prize for Community Well-Being. That's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, December 9th, and the event is free. You can get reservations for it. It is a virtual event at nypublicradio.org/benefit. And with me now is Kelvin Tate. He is working to help feed his community by delivering groceries. He's the co-founder of East Brooklyn Mutual Aid and director of operations at Brooklyn Packers, a Black-led, worker-owned food cooperative. That group has been working to create a healthy, robust, standardized grocery box that mutual aid groups across Brooklyn can buy and deliver to community members in need at a low price. The group recently received a citation of good work from the Brooklyn Borough President as well. Kelvin, thanks for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And for listeners who still might not be sure exactly what it is, can you define a mutual aid network?
Yeah, well, it's simple. For us, mutual aid is not charity. Mutual aid is a community coming together to ensure that our neighbors in the community are taken care of. Mutual aid is people caring about the people that live amongst them and around them and ensuring that we take responsibility for our communities.
A distinctive quality of mutual aid, in general contrast with charity and state services, let's say, is the absence of conditions for those who wish to receive help. Anyone who wants groceries can get them. How many families do you deliver to each week? And were you surprised by how many people signed up for services?
Yeah, so when we first started, you know, we were doing about 30 families a week. We're now up to almost 100 families a week, and that's families of all sizes, from two-person households to six-plus. Especially over the last couple of weeks, we've really seen an uptick in our requests for groceries and food from our neighbors. And, you know, it's surprising as it is, it's not really surprising given where we are right now with the state of affairs and everything in the States and even in New York.
And I know you also got COVID in March, and if you feel comfortable talking about it, how was that experience? And did it contribute to your volunteer efforts or you getting very involved and starting East Brooklyn Mutual Aid?
So having COVID was not fun. I contracted COVID late February, and, you know, I was sick for about 2 to 3 weeks in March. And, you know, just being home, prior to doing mutual aid work, I was working in the entertainment field. I was an MC and I owned an entertainment company. So we did private events, we did weddings, sweet 16s, and corporate events, et cetera. So I lost all of my income once I contracted COVID, and COVID shut everything down. So I was home. I was sick. I didn't have groceries myself. So I was in need. Some of my neighbors looked out for me, and they made sure that I had groceries. My family made sure that I had food while I was, you know, not feeling well. And for me, I wanted to pay it forward. Two of my neighbors came to me because we are active in our community. We have a neighborhood association, and we really tried to play that role for our neighbors. So they came to me and asked if I wanted to be a part of starting a mutual aid group. I didn't understand what that was. So I said, yes, you know, what's our mission? I would love to make sure that our neighbors had food on their tables. So that was our mission. Our mission was simple. We buy and deliver groceries to our neighbors for free. And that's how we started.
And we can take some phone calls, listeners. Do you volunteer for a mutual aid group, or do you get food deliveries through a mutual aid group? Tell us about your experience and what you've learned about your community through volunteering, or through being volunteered for, if you want to put it that way. What challenges have you faced, either in fundraising or an organization, if you're with a mutual aid? And if you get deliveries through mutual aid, call in and shout out your local group. What do they bring you, and how has it helped you, or maybe even change your perspective on something? 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Tell us about this other affiliation, Brooklyn Packers. Who are they, and how did you get involved with them?
So Brooklyn Packers, as you mentioned, is a black and brown-led, worker-owned cooperative. And for some of the people that don't understand what a worker-owned cooperative means, the workers own the company, and they share in the profits of the company. We believe in, you know, creating systems of ownership. If we do the work, we should be paid the profits, and we should share that with all of the people that do that work. Brooklyn Packers has been instrumental in assisting the mutual aid groups across Brooklyn with a resource of a grocery alternative shopping, you know, allowing the dollars that they've raised to stretch for their communities and ways for them to feed more people and to provide more resources. We've worked with mutual aid groups, nonprofit organizations, for-profit organizations as well, and we're working actively on creating a community model where our neighbors can no longer have to go to the grocery store and pay an excessive amount of money because we don't control the supply chain. We want to be able to control the supply chain and shorten that food supply chain, so we're spending a lot less in those grocery stores. So we're creating a model where our neighbors can order groceries for home delivery and their contact list for a much lower price than they would at the grocery store. We're making sure that the staples are available, a couple of add-ons. And each of those bags goes back into the community because we're putting someone from the community to work. So it's a community model. The community's taking care of itself, and we're making sure that our neighbors and our friends have a part in what we are building.
So what's in a grocery box, and how much does it cost?
So it's a $35 grocery box, and in that box, we try to create all of the staples. So there's apples, there's carrots, potatoes, onions, collard greens, spinach, rice, dried beans, pasta, scallions, eggs, cooking oil, flour, butter, oranges, chicken, and pasta sauce. The bag is a $40 cost. We have additional items that you can add on, such as orange juice, 2% milk, lactate, almond milk, apple juice, bread, white bread, whole wheat bread, oats, and sugar. And again, part of those proceeds goes back into the community. We can create jobs, and we can feed ourselves.
Now, the city says anyone who wants a food box can get one for free by calling 311 through their expanded Get Food NYC program. Does that make some mutual aid work redundant? And why should somebody pay $35 for one of these boxes rather than whatever it is the city is offering for free?
Well, because that's just it. It's whatever it is that they have that they offer us for free. You know, we want to be able to control what we are eating and what we're distributing in our communities. Those boxes are great. You know, they provide up to 9 meals for a family, but they don't contain the things that our neighbors like or the things that we would eat on a consistent basis. You know, there's only but so much that you can eat of oats and rice. And although we have that in here as well, we want to make sure that there's a lot of fresh produce. We want to make sure that we can provide things like chicken and flour and cooking oil for our neighbors to be able to prepare full meals. And the city, a lot of those programs are limited time. And, you know, we packed for the Get Food NYC program, and we were doing 1,000 boxes a day for them. That program slowly started to phase away because the city felt that there was no longer a need for them to continue that program. You know, Brooklyn Packers was very instrumental in that. Like I said, we did 1,000 boxes a day for the last 6 months. That program phased out at the end of October, and many of our neighbors are no longer being supported by that.
Evie in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Evie.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
Actually, outside doing some mutual aid work right now with Astoria Mutual Aid.
Cool.
Hey,
what are you doing?
Hello.
What are you doing, Evie?
So today we're giving out prepared meals at Astoria Houses and also doing a pop-up food pantry in collaboration with some other mutual aid groups that have kind of sprung out of Astoria Mutual Aid. So we do, you know, have been doing a range of things, just like, you know, was just described by Kelvin, everything from grocery boxes to free clothing opportunities, you know, setting up kind of shops for people to pick out coats, picking up prescriptions for neighbors, doing all sorts of things for these past 8 months. We started in March.
Amazing.
And what do you want to say about kind of the whole project of mutual aid in 2020?
Well, I think it's really kind of shown how important it is for people to step in when our government fails, and how important it is
Absolutely.
To work to support our neighbors and recognize that we all have something to contribute. And I think that's what I really appreciate about mutual aid is the fact that it is about solidarity, it's about working together, and it's making sure that everyone, no matter who they are, can live in dignity. So it's really been, I think, a transformative experience for me, and I think so many others who've been involved with Astoria Mutual Aid.
Evie, thank you so much
Absolutely.
For your work and for calling in. And let's go next to Nerve. Is it Nerve in Brooklyn? You're on WNYC.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've always listened to your show and really one of my highlights of my day.
Thank
I would
so
love
much.
To really comment on the mutual aid networks around the city. It's really fascinating, and I'm really proud of friends in Ridgewood and Bushwick area who have been self-organizing mutual aid networks through a community center called Woodbine. And they've been doing this for many months now, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And I really want to highlight a few challenges that they're facing, specifically in terms of space. They needed a bigger space to actually store and collect the food that are being given to them and for them to sort it out and also pack and organize distribution systems every week, once a week on Wednesdays at Pine. And I think I also want to kind of really highlight that this friends and community members are all volunteers, and they really would benefit support not only from, you know, free food that they can be delivered to their space, but also protection and also testing and PPEs, if you can call it that, because mm-hmm. obviously they're doing a very important and essential service to our community mm-hmm. that unfortunately city government and other institutions are failing to do so.
Nerve, thank you so much for your call. And it's really interesting,
Absolutely.
Kelvin, how he puts that in such a broad context of it's not just delivering food to people who are hungry, but he sees it so broadly. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for us, it was a lot of resources that we could have provided, and a lot of people needed a lot of things, but we really wanted to focus on what was important in the immediate for our neighbors. And we felt like our neighbors shouldn't have to choose whether to pay their rent or to put food on their tables. So we took that worry away from them so they can focus on other things and really build their lives around this pandemic, which has taken so much from so many people.
You know, in the spring, there was a lot of good media around mutual aid groups. There were many feel-good stories about communities helping communities in the Times, even on Fox News. I wonder whether you're ever frustrated by it. Like, we can be so moved by the way people come together to overcome hardship that we lose sight that many of these hardships shouldn't even exist. You know, the government could offer more in subsidies,
right.
a higher minimum wage, access to affordable health care, all these structural things. Do you ever feel like people are missing the point when they praise groups like yours?
Yes and no. I feel, you know, we've adopted a mindset that we are enough for our communities. We are enough to take care of the things that our basic needs. You know, the pandemic has definitely shown that the government, you know, has the ability to do so, but they choose not to. And a lot of the time, so, you know, we've created systems to not rely on them. However, I do feel that with the resources that they have, you know, that being given to us, we can create the systems that work for us. You know, a blanket system or a blanket food security system for everyone just doesn't work. You know, allow us the resources to put plans and put operations and infrastructures in place to do it ourselves. We don't need media and we don't need press to ensure that our neighbors have food on their tables. We're doing a very great job at doing that without any of it. It's nice to be highlighted. It's nice to be talked about, for the news to be shared so more people can put eyes on what you're doing. All of those things are great, but it's about actually being in the communities and serving the people around us that need it. Everything else is just extra.
Sophie in Flatbush, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sophie. You work with Mutual Aid, too?
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Yes, my roommate and I, we originally started volunteering with Flatbush United Mutual Aid, which was happening in our neighborhood in Flatbush. And that was an organization that was set up specifically to design to help with the food crisis. And that was a really great experience because people in the community were actually able to put in requests for groceries that they that they use weekly, which was amazing. But that organization did close because it was just focused really for that specific crisis at that time. So then we started volunteering for a mutual aid group that's working out of Good Shepherd's Church in Sunset Park. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Good Shepherd's Church in Sunset Park, which is doing amazing work delivering hot meals and groceries. And they're still looking for drivers. So if anybody has a car, it's a great thing to do with two people, with a roommate or a friend. And we do hot meal and grocery deliveries twice a week.
Awesome. Sophie, thank you so
That's
much.
Amazing.
So we've got about 30 seconds left. Kelvin, can you name one thing that you have learned about your community that has surprised you through your mutual aid work?
Yeah, I guess I can say that one thing would be we have the resources, we have the skills, the talents, and the abilities to ensure that we are okay. And I've definitely learned that there are some amazing folks, especially in my community and the communities that surround us, that really care about people, and they put people first over money, over profits, over everything else. And it warms my heart every single day to know that there are people that are taking responsibility for the people that live amongst them.
That is great.
I've learned that solidarity is a very strong and important thing.
Kelvin Tate, co-founder of East Brooklyn Mutual Aid, thank you for being a hero of community well-being in 2020.
Thank you, Brian. And I would like to just shout out Brooklyn Packers. You can visit us at brooklynsupportedagriculture.com and eastbrooklynmutualaid.org or East Brooklyn Mutual Aid on Instagram.
Awesome. And our 2020 Community Wellbeing series continues tomorrow with the leader of the group, We Run Brownsville.